Health authorities are struggling to contain a syphilis outbreak amongst young Indigenous Australians across our north. This disease has been found in children as young as 10 years old and has caused at least two fetal deaths. The syphilis outbreak first emerged 4 years ago in the Mount Isa region in Queensland's northwest, but now it's spreading rapidly. Health workers are worried the disease has become entrenched. Cathy Van Extel spoke to Arun Menon, the clinical director for the Mount Isa Sexual Health Service.
Between 2005 and 2009, in that five-year period in the northwest, we only had approximately 3 to 4 cases a year. And then suddenly in 2010, it started to jump up. And 2011, we had 81 cases. 2012, we had 72 cases, and so on. And this year, we're on track to have at least 50 cases in the northwest. But there have been cases now reported from each of the four hospital and health services that have been linked to the northwest.
Are you seeing it move across North Queensland? Is that how it's progressing?
It is progressing. I mean, it seems to be, we've seen cases in the Townsville area that have been linked to the northwest. We've seen cases in the Cairns and Hinterland area and in the Cape York region. So we're seeing them all across the board at the moment.
Is there any suggestion that it's spreading across Northern Australia, say, to the Northern Territory?
There's certainly cases in the Northern Territory, but we're not clear whether they're actually linked to Queensland. I think the Territory itself at the moment is experiencing a surge in cases again in the younger age groups on the Territory-WA border.
So who is at most risk in the population? Which part of the population are you seeing this disease at the moment?
The largest numbers are in the 15 to 24 age group, but we're also seeing people who are younger than 15 having infections and certainly older than 25. So one of the things that we're trying to do is to sort of try, instead of just concentrating on the 15 to 24 age group, we're trying to test more people in the younger and older age groups. Our youngest person is 10 years old, for instance, so we do need to think carefully about who we're testing.
Is it solely within the Indigenous population?
At the moment, in North Queensland, there are two populations that are affected. One is certainly the Aboriginal and Islander population, but also the non-Indigenous population does have some syphilis, although it's largely confined to men who have sex with men.
There's also a link between syphilis and HIV that's of concern, isn't there?
Yeah, certainly there is a link between syphilis and HIV, and in some of our cases, we've diagnosed both infections. Syphilis, essentially just opens up the door for HIV because ulcerative diseases make it easier.
And what's the worry about how it would continue to spread?
The worry is that the numbers will continue to increase, and as they continue to increase, we're going to have, it's going to become entrenched in the population and then much harder to deal with. We did manage to diagnose more syphilis in the early days, but some of those gains from the early days will definitely be lost. Just recently in Brisbane, we had a strategic meeting to try and figure out what we're going to do about all this. Because it has consequences, people who have syphilis, if it's untreated, up to a third of individuals will go on to have either neurosyphilis or cardiovascular heart-related issues. And pregnant women are certainly affected. And we've had a couple of fetal deaths, and a number of children have been treated to reduce the risk of syphilis.
You've had community education campaigns that have been in place now for the past 4 years, yet here we are talking about the disease spreading. It suggests that these campaigns are failing, doesn't it?
A lot of effort has gone into trying to manage this outbreak, and yes, we've been working at different levels. We've certainly been trying to raise the awareness within communities, have engagement with stakeholders via partnership forums. There are individuals that have worked on condom access programs. But the numbers continue to rise. And the key thing is that, we can't seem to get people who are at risk coming into the health services to be tested. And also, sometimes at a clinic level, individuals who are at risk are not being tested for a variety of different reasons. So we're trying to address all those different levels. We're trying to encourage people to come in and be tested, But once they come in and are tested, we want to treat them as soon as possible. So one of the little innovations that has been pioneered up here is the use of rapid tests. So if you're in a community somewhere or even in a city where blood has to go away to be tested, you can test people on site. So that reduces the difficulties trying to find people.
Is that the real challenge with this epidemic, literally identifying the extent of the problem? It sounds like there is underdiagnosis going on. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I think despite the effort involved, not only are the hospital and health services very supportive of what we're doing, but we've sort of mobilized resources from a number of sexual health units and the population health unit as well. Despite all that effort, we're still having difficulty getting the appropriate people tested and followed up.
So is the real worry here that this is galloping away from the health authorities?
Yes. I mean, it is galloping. And we've just recently had a strategic meeting in Brisbane to try and figure out what we're going to be doing in at least next year to try and bring this situation under control. I think it's less of an outbreak now. It seems to be entrenched in the population. So the focus has to change from dealing with just an outbreak to dealing with these very high rates.
Are you looking at different approaches?
I think we are looking at different approaches. We're also looking at engaging the communities in a slightly different way. We are hoping to see a much greater community engagement effort in early next year.
That's Arun Menon, the clinical director of the Mount Isa Sexual Health Service, speaking with Cathy Van Exdel.